Welcome to Spark Your Fire podcast, sparking your interest in Australian property and finance. Now, here's your host, Jazz and David. But before that, let's listen to the quote of the week.
One of the best things we can learn to do is drop it. Let it go. Whether it happened 20 years ago or 20 minutes ago, don't carry negative baggage from yesterday into today. You won't live a victorious life if you're always reliving what didn't work out, who hurt you, the mistakes you've made. The reason it's called the past is because it's over. It's done. It's history. Now do your part and let it go.
G'day everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Spark Your Fire. I'm your host, David Shee. Along with me today is Jess. Jess, how are we doing today, mate?
Really good, mate. Really good week. I'm learning a lot of new stuff. Grade one stuff, basically.
Homeschooling treating you well? Let's put it that way.
I can remember now what syllables are. I had to search on the Google for a minute what syllables were, but it's all coming back.
Man, good man. And, you know, it's quite rare that we, I think, you know, you and I are obviously mortgage brokers, but today we've got our special guest today who's also a mortgage broker, which is great. I reckon we're going to have a party here, mate. And I think our guest today is situated in Queensland. So, again, it's going to be across three states, as always. You know, the fun doesn't stop on the eastern coast. Let us introduce Matthew Sloan from Liberty, who's also, I think, as a mortgage broker. Matt, welcome on the show.
Thanks, David. Thanks, Jazz. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. It's always good to have similar professions on the show. But look, I think today, like always, we're keen to know your story. You know, what's the story behind Matthew as a property investor, or, you know, someone who owns and buys and flips some property? I think, according to Jazz, you had a bit of a different approach, because we had a lot of investors on the show before who are buy and hold. Okay. Personally, yep. I'm a buy and hold. Jazz is a buy and hold. So it'll be interesting to obviously tap into your knowledge on the other side of the equation. You know, when you, I think you had buy and you had flip, and obviously you made a profit out of that, right? So so that'll be something that we'll be interested to tap in. But I guess, first of all, to let us in, how did you start in property? Like what made you want to start looking into buying properties?
Well, just initially, like a lot of people, I think just to put a roof over your head initially.
So that's the first home?
Yeah, first home, then, you know, grew from there. So my wife and I at the time were both in hospitality in those days. And, you know, on sort of humble incomes, we sort of, once you start looking at, you know, what's your wealth going to, situation going to be like in the future, investing in property looked like the most achievable thing for us. We were never, I guess like everyone, we're never going to save our way there. And property was certainly a great vehicle to do that.
And where did you bought your first home? At what age?
Oh, I was 30, 31, I think.
31, okay, okay.
So that was a late starter. But I'd done a lot of travelling beforehand, but I think the earlier the better. But yeah, we started at 31, and so still did reasonably well.
Right.
That's good.
So you have been flipping properties, basically, buying, and I'm assuming you're doing some renovation works to that as well, or just...
Yeah, we've done basic renovations to each. Our approach has been sort of in between buy and hold and flipping. At the end of the day, we've always had the intention that to renovate a house that we buy, to improve it, but also, you know, if it needs to, we'll sit on it for a while if we need to. And I think the key thing for us was to, if we ever sell property, was to sell on our terms, rather than let an external source force you to sell. I think that way you can, whether that's, you know, 5 years, 10 years, or you know, whatever that time may be, we've always thought if you can sell the property when you're ready, obviously that means prices involved as well, the market's involved as well, then you should do pretty well.
Mm-hmm. But any particular reason that you opt for selling the properties when you can? I mean, generally investors that we talk to, including ourselves, like David said, is a buy and hold strategy that we go for. But what made you think about or go into that direction where you take the profits off the table when you can, kind of thing?
Yeah, so, well, going from We kept our first house. We actually kept that for 10 years. So we did sort of buy and hold on that one. And the houses that we're living in, you know, were sort of upgraded each time. So we sort of bought at a certain level, did some renovations. We sat on them for a good 5 years still, and then sold here, and then up, and sort of just moved our way up the ladder, so to speak. While at the same time, we held the investment property for 10 years. We sold in 2018. And now, yeah.
Do you mind sharing the numbers, starting with the first one that you bought at the age of 30?
So the first one we bought in Holland Park West in Brisbane in 07. We bought for $375. We lived in it, renovated it, then turned it into an investment property. Then we bought another one in Holland Park, so same similar postcode. Bought that for $510, I think, close to it, and then held that for 5 years before we sold that to move into where we are now. We sold that for $740. And then we recently sold the investment property. That's the one we bought at $375. We sold that for $660.
So you bought that was the Holland Park West, which initially was the PPOR.
So 11 years, basically.
11 years, okay.
So why Holland Park, Matthew? It looks like Holland Park is really popular among Queensland. We had Nathan on the show the other day. Haven't published the episode, but he's in Holland Park as well. I know the school's pretty good up there, I think, in Holland Park.
I think there's quite a few factors. You're very close to two major shopping centres. You know, 6 to 7 kilometres from the CBD. You know, where we were in Holland Park West, it was very close to a busway. Brisbane's got a great busway system. And definitely the schools. Holland Park as well has we're pretty blessed with quite a few good schools in this area. And hence, this is where we live now. One of the main drivers there, it's a great little pocket, but one of the main drivers there was the local school.
Right. So back into the first property, bought for $375, sold for $660, I think you said. That's a pretty handsome profit on that one. I'm assuming that was purely like for the reason that you just said, that move up the ladder into the next property.
A bit of buy and hold, move up as well. So a combination of.
You bought that one as an owner OC to start off with. Did you have to pay much capital gains tax when you sold it?
No, we did pretty well. Once again, we've got a really good accountant, number one. Every investor's got a good team behind them.
Absolutely.
We were lucky enough as well. When I say lucky, we did our research beforehand, but you know, we got lucky because a lot of the capital growth was when we held it as our owner occupied. So we did pay capital gains, but we
still were able to pocket the majority of the profits at the end of the day. That's good. And so the strategy here is, I wouldn't say it's flipping. It's basically buy to move in, to live in there for a while, and then, you know, renovate while you live in there, essentially add value. And then when the market's going pretty good and you say, okay, well, it's probably time to trade up again, that's when you look at basically selling it and move up.
Yeah, that's right, David. And at the end of the day, we're living in an area where we want to live. And probably will always live, I dare say. And if for whatever reason we can't sell for what we want to, we simply won't.
Yeah, you just keep holding on to it, right? Because you're still going to be living there. That's still enjoy it as a benefit. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that out of the fear, Matthew, of not being able to sell the property?
So, you know, probably a bit of a safety net. I think pretty confident in this location. I think Holland Park in particular has shown over the years that it's a pretty solid investment.
Well, that definitely is the case. I mean, looking at the numbers. So let's talk about the second one. That one was bought for $520 and sold for $740, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And which year was that in, buddy?
Ooh, it would be about 2011 to 2016, I think.
And that's with doing some work to the property?
Yeah, we did. We didn't do any structural works, but we did, yeah, did, you know, new driveway, internal, external painting, you know, ripped up some carpets, polished floorboards, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When you're thinking about doing the kind of works that you do to the property, are you more thinking from a selling perspective that what price will you get, what kind of return you will make? Because it's a bundle of two strategies where you're living in the property and at the same time you're trying to make it an investment, right?
Well, that goes down to the individual house, I think. I think the first step is to work out if and what the property needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of go, well, okay, is it realistic in a period of time you'll obviously not just get your money back but profit from that as well. So I think it's a bit of research, a bit of calculations, as well, just to make sure that certainly don't want to overcapitalize. But at the same time, it's to, when you're looking for, when we always look for a house, we always look at, okay, what can we improve upon this particular property? And you know, how will that benefit us? Will it just be make it a nicer place to live, which is obviously what we want, but at the same time, we don't want to sort of overcapitalize.
Mm-hmm. That's the second property. And currently you are renting or you're living in your own place again?
No, we live in our own place.
This is the third property?
This one basically come down to family planning. So we went from three bed, one bath to four bed, two bath, mm-hmm. pool on a bigger block. And it basically in a, once again in Holland Park in a good spot, but mm-hmm. in the catchment for Cab Road High, that was one of the main drivers for us. For those interstate, it's basically Cab Road's one of the probably top four, public schools in Brisbane. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty close to that.
You plan to do much works to this property or you've already done some works?
We've done a little bit, but we're just sort of gradually, we're doing a bit as we go. Done a bathroom recently. We've put a deck on the back, relined the pool. So we've done a few things and probably more, I guess, just touching up a few things, I think, from here for the next year or so.
Mm-hmm. So Holland Park has obviously seen a fair bit of growth over the last few years, just discussing some of the properties that you mentioned before. How do you see it performing over the next couple of years based on your experience of the area?
I think demand is pretty high and it's consistently high for this area.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll certainly be maybe not the top suburbs, but it'll certainly be above average. And I think consistently, depending on what the market does, but I think it'll certainly be above your average market because there's still a lot of diversified properties in this area as well. So you can still, you know, upgraders can still get in at a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that are sort of buying and holding or renovating still add a lot of value to it as well.
And I'm assuming COVID would have probably only helped with the demand in the area due to people trying to move away from CBD a little bit and still being close to CBD at the same time?
Yeah, well, talking to local property people, it's certainly done that. I think not just in Brisbane, but in particular areas like Holland Park where where a strong portion of the demographics are still doing really well work-wise, maybe less impacted. There's still a lot of people looking to buy, looking to upgrade. And I guess the lower supply as well has added to that as well a little bit, certainly.
Right. Okay. How do you decide the structures that you're going to buy the property in? What kind of structure? Do you normally just buy it under your your partner's name or your personal name? Yeah. Or you go with the trust from a tax perspective?
Yeah, we've always been... in terms of incomes, fairly even. So it's not really, it hasn't been a complex thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we both work, we both have similar incomes. So there hasn't been sort of a benefit for us to sort of say, well, we'll buy it in my wife's name or buy it in my name only.
Mm-hmm. So it's just not the names, basically, no trust or anything.
Yeah.
Basically. Right. Okay. What's some of the advice that you will give to the investors who are looking at this kind of strategy? Some of the tips?
I think using the experience of your network. You know, when you're going to select a property, get advice from either a builder or, you know, don't just rely on the building and pest, but maybe a buyer's agent, like Nathan's very good like that, but someone with that sort of experience that can really run their eye over the property and almost, for lack of a better word, almost forecast what renovations are going to be needed. Mm-hmm. rather than so that way you can choose which renovations you want to do rather than have renovations forced upon you. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way you can sort of go, okay, you can start with a plan and that plan can easily be interrupted by an unexpected renovation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably one part. Mm-hmm. And I think look at demographics. I think schools are becoming increasingly important depends on the areas, but I think for us and for a lot of people I know in this area, that the catchment is really important.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, that in which obviously drives a lot of demand.
Mm-hmm.
Affordability, now that's you know, pretty much dictated by lenders, but that's something you need to sort of have a plan and work out if you're just going to buy and hold, buy, renovate to flip, but know your budget, know what you can do, and then what, but not just what you can borrow, but, you know, how are you going to do those renovations? How are you going to fund them? Have you got the savings? Do you need to borrow more money after that? You know, does it have to be a construction loan? You know, there's a lot of moving parts, I think. So once again, it still comes down to planning.
Right. Okay. Now that's all the advice over there.
I do like the different type of strategies that Matt you presented here, because I think, you know, it's a very smart move, because essentially you started at 30, 31, 32, but then you keep buying your own off place, you save on the capital gains tax essentially each time, and you trade up. They must have a happy wife, by the way, every time when you're trading up and they still have a bit of money in the back pocket. But it is quite a unique strategy in that sense, and I think Holland Park has been proven to be a good suburb for you to continue to be able to do that, because look, probably a lot of Australian suburbs not able to get that kind of profit to that degree, we must admit. You know, someone, and for someone who's just investing in essentially your backyard, you know, because a lot of times we talk about there's so many opportunities out there, whether it's interstate, whether it's in a different direction, you know, not somewhere that you live, because I know most of the mum and dads just look at investing in their backyard because they know their best,
yeah,
which is understandable. And I think you've proven to be a good case in the sense that, yes, even if you don't go outside and if you don't go outside to interstate or whatever, you can still make profits by, you know, making sure that you're buying in a highly desirable area with good schools, with good proximity to CBD, with good public transport, then those are still the winning factors in, isn't it? So that's the way I read about how you're able to get to where you are today. Now, looking forward, you did mention before we jump on, you are probably going to look at investing again in probably about 12 months' time, in a year's time-ish.
Yeah, I think we don't have a set. The timing was always when our youngest son was approaching school age.
Okay.
Sort of the end of next year, or, you know, 2022.
Yep.
So that's just a ballpark guide. But we'll start keeping our eye on things or having a look at
it. Yeah.
I'd say. It's been a little while, so we're just about, I guess, due. certainly.
Do you see anything with the way you have been strategizing this thing so far? Do you see that changing moving forward due to what's happening in the current environment that may opt you different strategy?
Probably not, Jazz, to be honest. But I think the core of it is still, for us, is location, and just working out, making sure that we can hold on if need be,
mm-hmm.
Not sell, or if there's a profit. It's just really sort of, you know, just gauging the market, gauging everything at the time. you know, if we're well within our affordability, we should be able to hold no problem. It's proven a pretty good strategy over time with many different people and different, I think, whichever, whether you're investing in new or old, or I think just doing, you know, looking at the location, looking at demographics, looking at your affordability.
That's really good, mate. That's a very different kind of strategy, like David said. Even we are keen to hear these kind of stories, to be honest.
Sounds like the next one is going to be Holland Park again, right?
Do you have any more questions, David, before I switch the gears?
No. I think that's a good coverage so far.
Matthew, is there anything else that you would like to cover from your strategy perspective before we gears a little bit?
Or your experiences far, you know, whatever that you would like to share.
I think that covers most of it. It's a fairly, I think in theory, it might sound a simplistic approach, but like I said, it's always just, you know, do your research. You don't have to jump into it. You don't have to wait for ages and ages, but just, you know, do your numbers, look at the, you know, get what information you can using it.
Actually, I do have a question. Do you normally try and buy it under the medium price range, or you don't really care as long as the...
Don't care. Because I think when you look at medium prices, I think it can be, you know, Holland Park's got such a range of properties and that valued at different prices. So the median price at the time can be skewed because of, depends on the recent sales. But it's certainly looking at what has sold, what's on the market, and comparing the properties you're looking at to that. Absolutely. And then sort of going, okay, if that's the median price for house A, is the one I'm looking at house B, is that comparable?
Really good. Let's move away from property. Aliens, believe it or not.
Aliens? No.
No, it's a big universe. You're in David's camp.
There's probably aliens out there, but they don't live among us, I don't think.
God. A myth?
There's a God.
So you
believe the more powerful being in the universe has to be.
But not aliens, though.
Well, we're one and the same thing.
Crypto, here to stay or a fad?
Ooh. Stay here to stay.
It's here to stay.
I think the recent success might be a fad, but I think it's here to stay.
When you say recent success, explain that a little bit.
Oh, not for me personally. I think obviously there's people have heard stories of crypto being going, you know, people making lots of fast, quick money. So I think possibly, you know, those days might be gone. I don't know. I haven't really gotten into it myself, so I don't know much about it. But I think it's got some legs.
AI. A threat to humanity?
No.
No. Okay. Cool.
Not yet.
Not yet. That's the thing. That's pretty much it, man. That's all the questions that I had.
You missed one. Do you think that we're in a simulation?
Oh, yeah. I think that's definitely not, just judging from his personality.
You never know, mate.
Is that right, Matthew?
No, I don't know.
Too much Matrix, too much too much movies.
So is it a yes or a no?
It's a no.
It's a no. Good. Look, I appreciate your time, mate. Anything else that you would like to say to the listeners who are thinking about investing in property around the Brisbane area? Any tips that you want to give them apart from what you have already mentioned?
I think what's hasn't been mentioned a lot, which I'm still learning more about this myself, is buyer's agents. I think that's something I'm seeing a lot more of in different transactions. I've never engaged one personally in the past, but I think it's becoming, I'm seeing it more and more. And I think I think as their value of of what they offer, I think, is becoming more apparent as well. So I think that's something to consider in the future as well.
Definitely. So the team play, basically, broker, buyer's agent, and accountant, a good accountant or someone.
Wow. Yeah.
Awesome. Appreciate your time, mate.
Pleasure, guys.
When you are onto the next one, we'll probably get you back to see how much gain you made that time. Right? And then we'll eventually end up moving to Brisbane, I'm sure. Try and work on similar strategy.
Next one's we're going to be a McMansion by the sounds of it. If you keep trading up, at one point you'll be living in a castle. You're like, where do we find Matthew?
Not that, nowhere near that yet.
Working towards it.
Appreciate your time, mate.
Thank you.
If you have any questions or feedback about today's episode, you can reach out to us through sparkyourfirepodcast@gmail.com. That's sparkyourfirepodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Also, the content discussed in this episode is general in nature. Please seek specific advice from qualified professionals in regards to your personal situation.
Of what they offer, I think, is becoming more apparent as well. So I think that's something to consider in the future as well.
Definitely. So the team play, basically, broker, buyer's agent, and accountant, a good accountant or someone.
Wow. Yeah.
Awesome. Appreciate your time, mate.
Pleasure, guys.
When you are onto the next one, we'll probably get you back to see how much gain you made that time. Right? And then we'll eventually end up moving to Brisbane, I'm sure. Try and work on similar strategy.
Next one's we're going to be a McMansion by the sounds of it. If you keep trading up, at one point you'll be living in a castle. You're like, where do we find Matthew?
Nowhere near that yet.
Working towards it.
Appreciate your time, mate. To the listeners.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys next time. Hope you guys enjoyed Matthew's content. Cheers, buddy.
That's good. Did you stop it?
No, I did. This is the first time I've tried that. It worked.
No, it's just this recording, guys.
So I haven't stopped the recording. Stop.